This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
I'm from New Zealand, but I'm from the UK originally. And I just wanted to email this voice clip to you. I have actually submitted a email before, but I don't know if this will air before or after, or whether either of them will get on air. But it would be really cool to hear what you guys have to say about this one in particular. I did want to record this by voice, just because it's quite hard to explain in some places, and I thought it was better to call and talk about it instead. So this story takes place when I was about 13. We used to live in the UK, in Northern England. And because we've lived all over, we had friends in different parts of the UK. My mum's best friend lived in the Midlands, which was further south than us. And that particular summer when I was 13, they decided to go down to the south of England, particularly to an area around Dorset and Devon. And they'd sorted everything out between them, so they decided where they were going to be staying. We didn't really have much involvement with that, obviously, as we were kids. So it was just me and my mum, and my mum's best friend and her two kids. One girl a bit younger than me and a boy my age. And it was quite a long travel down. There wasn't really much to say about that. And when we turned up at the place, it was a very old country estate. I couldn't say exactly how long ago it was first built, but it was quite an old place. You could tell that it was at least a few centuries old. And we were basically staying in what seemed to be a converted stable or barn next to the main house, which was down a kind of path, if I remember correctly. And when we showed up to the place to get the keys, the owner, which was an older man, came down to see us. And I remember seeing a woman there as well, which I assumed was his wife. And she was there behind his shoulder, and she didn't say anything. And this is one of the details that later turns out to be a bit weird, because I remember her being there, but neither of the adults remember her being there. And the kids also remember her being there. So either, you know, it's something to do with the adult's memory, or it just seems a bit weird that as kids we could see her clear as day. I don't know if you guys have anything to say about that, but I have heard that kids are more likely to see spirits, especially listening to some of your earlier podcasts. It seems like kids are very receptive to seeing spirits, more so than adults. So after chatting with him or them for a while, we go inside and we take all our stuff in. We had a dog with us as well at the time. She was my mum's shadow, and she would follow her pretty much everywhere. And what happened was, when we walked in, there was a living room area with a kitchen kind of further back as you looked down the hallway. And there was a doorway, a hall, a very short corridor, really. And there was one bedroom off to the left and one bedroom straight in front if we carried on. And you could also turn right and walk up the stairs into like a loft that had been converted into another bedroom. So my mum and I went into the room that was straight down the corridor. And my mum's best friend and her daughter went into the bedroom off to the left, and her son went upstairs. So we chucked our stuff in the room. There was an ensuite in there. There was a four-poster bed. And everything had quite an old feel, like a bit outdated. It was obvious that, you know, the owners had found it hard to, or the owner had found it hard to keep good care of the place. The wallpaper was kind of peeling off a bit. There was a, you know, a feel to it that it seemed like everything wasn't quite in order. It's quite hard to explain the atmosphere, really, but it seemed like even the dog picked up on it because, as I said, she was my mum's shadow and she would not spend more than a minute in that room. She would come in and walk back out again. And that night, she actually spent her time in the next bedroom. She did not sleep in our room, which is very strange for her because usually she would probably be as close to mum as she could possibly get. She's since passed away. So that was very odd for her during her life. She would normally be glued to my mum. There was a few weird things as well. We noticed that there was a blood stain on the dishwasher handle, what seemed to be a blood stain. There wasn't really much to say for the first day or so. I think everyone was generally fine. I noticed that I started to get a bit irritable. Thinking back, I was starting to be quite irritable. And, you know, you could say, oh, well, that's typical stuff for a 13-year-old. I would get quite grumpy and irritable without, you know, any kind of apparent cause for it. And a few other strange things happened as well. There was a chest of drawers or a cupboard in the lounge kitchen area. And my dog actually crawled underneath a gap beneath the chest of drawers or cupboard and seemed to be hiding there, which is really peculiar for her, very bizarre. She was not a anxious dog. She had separation anxiety stuff, but she was never fearful like that. She never did anything since that or before that. Quite confident. She would be quite protective as well. That's the only time I've ever seen her hide. So that was odd, and I remember thinking about that at the time, thinking how weird it was that she was hiding under there. So things kind of carried on as normal over the next 2 days, I would say. And on the third day, my mum seemed a bit more anxious than usual. She didn't really say a lot during the day, but I noticed at night, we had moved into the second bedroom and her best friend and her daughter had moved upstairs with her son. So me and mum were in the second bedroom instead of the main one with the ensuite that we'd first stayed in. As I was kind of trying to head off to sleep, mum turned to me and said, "Can we go and sleep in the car?" And I didn't like the sound of that at all. I said, "No, why would I want to sleep in the car?" And she said something like, "Oh, these sheets are itchy." This went on for a couple of minutes, and finally she just had to tell me what the problem was. So this is a pretty creepy thing that happened to my family. And it's something that I guess has stuck with us ever since in a way. Mum said that the night before, when we were in the other room, she had woken up about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, so about dawn or so, and she'd gone into the kitchen to get a glass of water and went back to bed. And as she was lying there, she felt what seemed to be the weight of a fully grown man spreading from her feet up her body, until eventually she was completely paralyzed. So that part of the story, you know, when we, if we were to tell people about it, they would usually think it's sleep paralysis. Others think it might be a demonic possession or an evil spirit. And I'll go on to say why. So this weight seemed to be on top of her for a few minutes, and she was terrified. She was very afraid. Her heart was beating very fast. She thought she was going to die, which I guess you would do if you're in that kind of situation. And that's quite common in sleep paralysis as well. She couldn't look over at me to see if I was okay because I was in the bed next to her. And that seemed to go on for quite a long time, although it's hard to say really how long. And then she sat up from the waist. It was like something caused her to sit up. She didn't sit up by choice. It's like it just automatically happened. Just bolt upright in bed. And she said then that she heard this really angry, demonic voice, demonic sounding voice saying something in a language or something that she just didn't understand. Very angry, very evil sounding. And although she didn't know what it was saying, she knew that it was telling her to get out, to go. It was angry. It didn't want her there. So although she said that she heard this, I obviously didn't wake up. I think it would be hard for me to not wake up in that kind of situation. She initially thought that she was saying these words, but it was almost like it was speaking through her, or she was hearing it in her head. And after that, it kind of just disappeared. Like, it was almost as if the energy just went away. And she fell back down on the bed, like it just left her, feeling completely drained of her energy, which is what makes me think that it was a possession rather than sleep paralysis. She straight away pretty much just left the room. I don't know if she wanted to wake me up or not, but I think she just needed to get out of there. So she went and sat outside for pretty much until the morning. And her best friend, who's a doctor, came downstairs and sat with her and said, you've seen a ghost, you're pale, you know, white as a sheet. So she told her what had happened. And at the time, she thought that it was sleep paralysis, as a doctor, I imagine, usually would. But since then, she's taken a different perspective on it. And we pretty much left, although we slept in the car that night, we left the next day because we couldn't spend any more time in that house. And she was a wreck after that night. She was crying for days and days after. It really, really terrified her. And if she sees anything that reminds her of that, she gets really upset and scared. And she says that, you know, in the back of her mind, she's really afraid that it's followed her. And although we didn't have any kind of experiences like that in our house, we have lived in a few haunted places, which I might ring and talk about in future. Nothing like that seemed to follow her. But when we moved to New Zealand, maybe a couple of years back, she went and saw a healer who was also, I guess, a medium. And this lady, when she saw my mum coming, she was going with one of her friends, she could not look at my mum. And it was like she was terrified of her. She would not look at her. And later on, she said to my mum that there was something attached to her. And it was like a piece of whatever it was, its energy had latched onto her, which I find absolutely terrifying. And she's been cleared of that since then, and our house has been cleared as well. But Yeah, I just wondered what you guys thought of it and if you thought that it's sleep paralysis or a possession. Because if it was anything like a demon that was so quick to have happened, it only took a few days for something like that to happen. And, you know, with all the things that went on at the same time, you know, I'm inclined to think that it was a spirit of some kind that was very angry. It was a very, very creepy place. I've tried to find it since on the internet, but I can't find where we stayed. It would have been good to find out the history of that place because it seemed like, you know, a few creepy things had happened there. So, yeah, it'd be really awesome to see what you guys think if you air it on the show, maybe if you've heard any similar experiences. Yeah, so thank you guys so much for what you do. I've been listening to your podcast for only about a few weeks now, but I've listened to so many episodes. It's kind of addicting. I think it's really awesome that there's some way that you can listen to everyone else's experiences of the paranormal as well. And it's really cool when you guys give your feedback on or your opinions on what's happened for that person. So yeah, hope you guys have had a good day today. If it comes on air, and it'd be really awesome to hear back. All right. Thank you. Bye.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.